Blog Talk Radio.
0 6 8 4 0 Everybody, we're back. Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and we've got a great show for you guys tonight. And another thank you to Catherine Kramer for joining us last night. What a wonderful person, and I owe her an email, actually. I got to send her a copy of the show, and we need to talk about something else, so I can't wait to do that after tonight's show. But tonight, we're going to have a great time again, as usual, on the show. We have with us author and the granddaughter of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, Julie Rogers Pamilia. Hi, Julie. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I got to tell you a little secret. When I saw your last name, all I kept thinking of was Palomino, and that's what trigger was. How weird
is
that?
My husband's name is Gino, so he likes to be called Gino Palomino. It's like, okay, that's just weird, Gino. No.
Leave it to the Italians.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Pardon me. Well, I'm excited to talk about your book, Your Hero. Your Heroes, My Grandpa. What is wrong with me? Oh, my goodness. Your Heroes, My Grandparents, A Granddaughter's Love. Because you're absolutely right. Everybody looked up to your grandparents as heroes on the big screen and the TV. And to you, they were just grandparents. So it's just weird at some point, in some degree, when you're a child in a celebrity household, right? I guess.
It's like you're, I don't know, normal is kind of whatever you grow up with, you know? And So for a while, I thought everybody's grandpa had a TV show, and that was just normal. And it wasn't until I started hearing other people outside the family give feedback, and I started, you know, hearing them talk, that I thought, oh, maybe my family is different. So it was a little confusing when I was little.
Yeah, and I knew that they adopted a lot of children. Any reason why they wanted to adopt so many? I mean, I always want to too, so it's a stupid question, but I mean, so many.
No, they just loved children, and they wanted a big family. And when they got married, my grandma had my dad, and grandpa had three children. And so they tried to have one between the two of them, and she was born with severe heart defects and Down syndrome. And she only lived until a couple days before her second birthday. So after that, and she was getting older, so after that they thought, you know what, let's just keep our eyes open, and we'd love to just adopt children that not necessarily would be adopted otherwise. And so they didn't just, you know, they picked kids that maybe nobody else would adopt. It's just a wonderful family. Wonderful family.
Yeah. Well, I guess your grandparents could have been considered Brad and Angelina at the time, you know, adopting kids from all over the place. Well, not, I shouldn't say all over the place. They were from the United States, just different ethnicities and backgrounds.
Right. Well, they, you know, they were adopting kids before it was kind of a thing to do. And it was kind of different and odd because so many of them, I had an aunt from Korea. I had an aunt from Scotland. And then I have an aunt that is Native American. And I had an uncle that had special needs. And he was beaten severely when he was little and they had deserted him. And so... we just had a very loving, inclusive family. It was wonderful.
Thank God. Thank God, especially for your uncles in particular. You know, it's horrible. I don't understand
what drives
people.
Yeah, I can't either. And it's, you know, they're still, my grandparents are still relevant for today because, you know, people all over are talking about being inclusive and being loving and, you know, accepting of others and stuff. And so they really lived it in front of us. They didn't just preach to us. They lived it. And it meant a lot to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, is this your first book or no?
Yeah, it is. It's the first one that a grandchild has written. I know my aunt and uncle have written a book, and that was, you know, several years ago. For my uncle, it was quite a few years ago, actually. But there's a special relationship between a grandchild and a grandparent that is different than a mom and a dad, and it was really magical the way that I was brought up with having them in my life.
Oh, I have to ask you a stupid question. Did you ever get to ride Trigger?
Yeah, we did. I mean, it's not like, you know, I took him out, you know, for a run in the hills or anything. I mean, he would give us rides around the arena on him. Mm-hmm. And he was such a nice horse. He just, you got the feeling like he knew there was a child on his back and that he needed to be very careful. And just such, they had, Grandpa and that horse had such a bond. It was just really special. It was like nothing else.
Right. And to be so busy in the industry and have 9 kids, I mean, they were really doting parents as well. I mean, they gave their time. They went to all the parent-teacher nights, baseball games, and style, whatever. They did it, though, right? I mean, my God.
I don't know how they did it, but even for their grandkids, us, they made it to my birthday parties and school plays and recitals and all kinds of stuff. And I never doubted their love for me and that they doted on me too, you know?
Right, right.
So
well,
that was special.
It's nice to see that they were actually the people that you saw on screen. Where, you know, a lot of people, it's just an act, you know, a lot of people, you know, that's their persona and that's it. And, and off camera, they're totally different, but no, not Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. They were, it's based on what I'm getting from the book. They were who they were. This was not an act.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't. And firsthand, having a front row seat my whole life, they absolutely were who people hoped they would be and more. It was just, they weren't putting on a show. They were just acting who they were. And in fact, they weren't really acting very well. They were
being themselves.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and everybody fell in love with them. You know, just everybody fell in love with them. And it's a shame we don't have wholesome TV like that anymore. I mean, times have changed. Would it even make it today? I don't know. But it's a shame that doesn't exist.
You know, that is really true. Because, like, kids today, even my own kids, don't really warm up to black and white TV to begin with.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. They just don't like watching black and white TV. And
no, my
and,
kids too.
Yeah. And the, you know, the storylines were a bit formulaic and they were often, you know, you just change the names and you have the next week's show. And, you know, people kind of laugh about the B-Westerns, but really the B-Westerns were a really important ingredient in the Western history of, you know, movies. And because they were the ones that brought in the, you know, they were the bread and butter that allowed the studios to then have enough funding to make these big, huge John Wayne westerns. And otherwise they wouldn't have the money to do that. So they were a real key ingredient, and they worked hard. So
right. Well, yeah. I can't believe you mentioned John Wayne, because I was going to ask if he ever popped by the house.
Yeah, he was good friends with Grandma and Grandpa, and I'm friends with Patrick Wayne, his son, and Michael Wayne, his grandson, actually rode with us in the Rose Parade 1 year, and very nice family, lots of kids. I did a with his daughter too. I did a panel one time with his daughter at CBS, and she was wonderful. So. Very, very nice family.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I get it rubs. It must be a cowboy thing because it's rubbing off.
Yeah, I know.
But
a lot of cowboys are that way, and a lot of the old school people. You know, it was just different back in the day, and
yeah.
You had to really work to climb up the ladder. And it's so different today how you can become an instant star overnight, being on you know YouTube or something.
YouTube, right.
And it's so very different.
Yeah, it's not earned anymore.
Really.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Well, you know what? They're
yeah.
just going to be flash in the pans anyway. No one will ever be another Roy Rogers, and there'll never be another Dale Evans. So, you know, and thank God
one
for
of
that.
A yeah.
Exactly. Hey, the king of the cowboys, right? That's what they call them, the king of the cowboys.
Oh, but he'd lay on the floor with us. Go ahead.
Oh, sweet. I do have to ask this. I know that they had a lot of merch at the time, which was kind of unheard of during that time to have so much. Do you have anything from then, from any, like the lunch boxes or anything?
Oh, my goodness. How much time do you have? Can you come over to my attic, my garage?
Oh, your attic, it should be displayed proudly. What are you doing in the attic?
I just don't have any room in my house for all that stuff, and I don't really know what to do with it because my kids really aren't that interested in it. Although, you know, I have some very special things that, of course, they'll
keep. Yeah.
But, it's just they had more than everybody out there except Walt Disney at one time,
yeah.
And he was
right.
He was pretty smart about the merchandise because he saw his career coming to kind of a. Well, like a slowdown where he wasn't doing as many movies, and he needed also early on he needed more money to answer the fan mail because he didn't even get enough during each week in his paycheck to get stamps to return letters to his fans, and so you know he was looking for ways to make money. Otherwise,
right.
And merchandise actually that ended up being much more lucrative than even being on a show.
Exactly,
you know, because that just lasts and lasts. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you ever go in the attic and want to dust something off, I'll take something.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Hey, come on over.
You could sell some of it. I mean, it's worth the probably it's weight in gold. I mean, it just for
just
the memorabilia.
Yeah, and I can't take it to the Goodwill. I just feel weird. I can't do that. It's like giving away Grandpa.
Right, right.
I know.
But I know. Well, your kids, speaking of your kids, when they were younger and when you turned them on to some of your grandparents' work, what did they think? Like, were they like, oh, my God, that's my grandma, that's my great-great-grandparents, you know, or didn't even faze them?
Well, they kind of grew up like I did. It didn't really faze them. I mean, they were proud of it, and it was interesting to them. But I know when my oldest son was 4 years old, we were out at a restaurant, and I saw on the menu that they had Shirley Temple's and Roy Rogers drinks. And I said, oh, Taylor, hey, there's a drink named after Grampy. And he said, oh, can I have one? And I said, sure. So the server came back to our table, and he just had no clue. He very seriously, he said, I'd like a Grampy, please. And I said, no, you have to say his name. They don't know who Grampy
sweet.
Is.
Oh, how sweet is that? Speaking of restaurants, how often do you find yourself in a Roy Rogers restaurant?
I know. If I'm on the East Coast especially, there were a lot of them
out
there.
That's where they are, yeah. Yeah, I haven't been to one in a long time. They're very good. I mean, I haven't
I
been
think
to
there's
it.
About
I can't
40
find them.
Of them left.
Yeah,
yeah, they've closed
them.
A lot. They have, at one time they had, at their height, I think they had 300 or 400 restaurants, and now they have about 40. And people seem to really like the food. I've eaten there when I've been back east. It's been a while, but yeah.
Yeah, we had one in downtown Newark when I was growing up, and of course all the New Jersey pit stops, rest stops, they had them. Yeah, and then when they did, I think they did the merger with Arby's. No, did they merge with them or no?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
The one I
gracious.
Went to was across the street from David Letterman, I think, in New York City.
Yeah. very cool. Very cool. Well, I did want to ask you before we get into the book itself. How old were you when you realized that, you know, your grandparents were Roy Rogers and Dale Evans that everybody loved?
Well, I was in second grade. My teacher made a big deal about the fact he was on the cover of our Scholastic News weekly reader that week. And
remember that paper? Oh, God.
Yes. And you know what? I'm a teacher, and we still use Scholastic News, the weekly readers.
I was curious to know if they still send those out, because I enjoyed when they came.
Yes, they do. They don't call them weekly readers anymore, but they call them Scholastic News. And it's the same thing, basically.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, yeah, we use them. And I still, whenever I see that picture, I always second grade that he was on the cover of that. But I went home that day, and I asked my parents, why was she acting so weird? Why, you know, and they told me, well, you know, and I found out not everybody's grandparents were like mine after all. So,
right.
Yeah. That was just my kind of the small beginning.
Yeah. Cause to you, they were just your grandparents, you know,
it's right.
I can't imagine that feeling of, you know, the realization of, oh my God, everybody loves my grandparents, you know,
that people know them. Yeah. People that I don't even know them, you know?
Right. Right.
But,
all the world.
You know, they were something very special, not just to people all around, but to the family too. They were just, you know, the head of the family, and we always met at their house, and I really miss that, because when they passed away, you know, the bottom kind of drops out.
Yeah.
So we still try to keep in touch, but it's harder because we're all spread out all over the country now.
Yeah. Once the matriarchs go, everything splits off. It's crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Now, Happy Trails, I didn't know this. I was written by Dale Evans, your grandmother. I didn't know that.
You and me both. I didn't know that either until I was in college. I heard it on the radio from some guy on the radio was talking about Dale Evans wrote that iconic song. And I was doing my homework, and I turned the radio up. I couldn't believe it. I called Grandma right away. I said, how come you never told me that you wrote that? She said, wrote what? I said, Happy Trails. She said, oh. Well, I didn't think it was that important.
It just shows to show how normal they were, you know, that they were everyday average people. So now what made you decide, after all these years, to finally sit down and put paper to pen?
But you know, when you get
pen
older,
to
you
paper.
Kind of start. Yeah. Pen to, yeah. When you get older, you kind of start thinking back through your life, and I started thinking back and thinking, you know, my sons don't really know a lot of my past. I mean, they don't know a lot of history of our family. And I've told them, but I thought, you know, I'd really like to write it down. So I was just going to give it to them for Christmas one year, just like a homemade book. I was going to go to Kinko's and get it copied. And then along the way, I go to these Western festivals, and people would always say, you have such great stories. You need to write a book. And I said, well, I'm kind of writing a book, but it's for my sons. And then every time I would say that, they'd say, no, you need to publish it, because everyone else wants to read those same stories. So it took me a while, and I thought, really? And I just ended up doing it, and I have a book.
Wow.
But I'm really glad I did it, because it's something that I can pass down in my family and,
exactly,
you know, introduce other people even to, you know, there's these people that really had an effect on America at the time.
Right, right. Well, without giving the book away, because we want people to get it, share a couple of stories in the book with us, please.
Well, you know, I just, I had a rock collection one time that I just wanted to show Grandpa, and they were really ugly rocks. And, but they were, you know, I was 9 years old and I thought they were gems, you know? And so
yeah.
I took them over to him to show him one day at the house, and he got this twinkle in his eye and he said, come here, I want to show you something. And he, I followed him out to the workbench in the garage, and out there he had a rock collection, and he had collected geodes and split them apart, and all these crystals were inside and stuff. And my eyes were as big as saucers. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that as he was showing me those rocks, he was putting them in my box. And when he put the lid back on and handed the box back to me, my box was super heavy. And I peeked inside and saw that he had given me all of the rocks he had shown me. And I just felt like $1 million. I felt so special. And he just was a man of few words. And I knew it meant a lot to him to have that moment with me, and it meant a lot for me to have that moment. And
right.
he just said, I think you'll enjoy those. And I still have that rock collection.
I was just going to say, please tell me you still have that.
I do. There's a picture in the book. We just had so many fun times. We were on the Jonathan Winter show, and something really embarrassing happened on that show. You'll have to read the book and find out what my cousin did to Jonathan Winters right in the middle of the show. And it was something that Jonathan Winters saw my grandma 15 years later at a different event. And he had never forgotten that. And he said, first thing out of his mouth to my grandma was, hey, Dale, how's that blankety-blank grandson of yours? and man, my cousin Rob never lived that down. So
that was
a funny moment. There were lots of fun moments, you know.
Yeah. How were the holidays? They must have been beautiful. Did they go all out and do the house? Like you said, everybody gathered there. So the house was supposed to look gorgeous for the holidays.
It was wonderful. And my favorite thing to do would be to go through their Christmas card basket. My grandma would always say, yeah, you can go through them. Go ahead. And they would be from all kinds of people.
Celebrities.
From
and
other actors and celebrities and the president. And, you know, it was always really fun. And they had, you know, lots of pictures from people in their cards. And, that was always a fun time.
Yeah. And I believe that they – went to the White House on occasion and brought the kids. Did you ever have that opportunity, or that was way before
did.
You were?
They did.
But did
no,
you?
No, I did
you?
Not go with. No, I didn't go with them. But you know, I loved how they could be at the White House one weekend and spend the night there, and then the next weekend they'd be on the floor in my living room playing Old Maid with me, and it was just, they just kind of seamlessly floated back and forth between celebrity and family so easily that's why it seems so normal.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people, I don't want to say a number or a percentage, but there are actually people out there who can't separate the two. They think that person they see on TV is that person, and you know, that's not the case. They this is a persona, but like you said, that was them. But you know, there are some, I don't want to say, what should I say, wackadoos out there.
Yeah. <You know? laughs> Yeah, always.
Oh my goodness.
Let me ask you this. they were who they were. That's
yeah.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you this. Is there any traditions that you've carried on that your grandparents, Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, did when you were a kid, or even your father experienced as a kid, that you've carried on? Any traditions in the family that you've carried on, or any of your family?
Well, my grandma used to make this this particular green salad, but she had her own twist on it. And she passed down the recipe to all of us, and I think we all make her salad. And And that's a very special thing. I make it for special occasions. And one thing I don't do is she got, later on in years, she got to where she wanted to keep her Christmas tree up all year. And it was so embarrassing, for especially for my younger cousins who were growing up at the time. They'd walk by after school and their friends would say, why does your grandma still have her Christmas tree up? It's April and there's doves on the tree. She just changed it with the season, and you know, she didn't really care what people thought. She was I really looked up to her that way. She just was her own person, and if you didn't like it, well, there you go.
Yeah. Well,
can you hear me?
Oh,
now I can hear you. I don't know. I can't hear you. Hello? These phones? I don't know. Let me see if I can call back.
Just a minute.
Hello? All right, I can't hear anything. Hello? I don't know what happened. I have connection on this end, but I don't hear anything. I didn't really want to say happy trails yet. Aww.
No, I can't hear you.
Hello? 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 Oh my goodness, I don't know what's going on. Hello? This is the weirdest thing. Don't you just love this day and age of technology where supposedly your smartphone is not so smart? Well, if anyone can hear me, happy.